For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is the Happy Hour.
You guys going to Happy Hour?
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America.
Yeah, maybe I'll come for a couple.
Here are your hosts, Nick Sainert.
I am a huge guy.
And Enrique Alvarez Cleary.
C is for chunk.
Brought to you by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in, happy Wednesday. This is the Happy Hour, 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com. Nick Sainert, Rico with you, also joined by Austin Norman. Hello, Rico.
Yeller.
How's the day?
Fantastic.
Beautiful today.
Because, first off, it's beautiful weather outside. Second, yesterday, a massive trade happened in the NBA.
Should we talk about this to start?
We don't have to. I just want to
give Rico his five minutes.
I just want to mention that the Nova Knicks are complete, almost. Ryan Arcidiacono is not a part of the team, which makes everyone sad.
It does make it sad.
Nobody cares.
I think is he still with the Bulls or is he done?
I think he's a free agent.
Okay. Because he used to be with the Chicago Bulls.
I think he got traded and then just released.
He's with the Windy City Bulls.
Oh, G League.
He is.
G League with the Bulls.
Shout out to Arcidiacono. The Nova Knicks are completed as the Knicks finished a trade for Mikal Bridges.
Yeah.
To join New York and his good friends, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and Dante the Big Ragu DiVincenzo.
Does it feel like a big package? Or did it feel service like appropriate? Four unprotected first rounders?
It does. They have five first round picks in the next five drafts, so it didn't really matter.
It feels big just because you have to take it in the context of Caruso going for the price of Josh Giddey.
That's right.
Mikal has been a little bit better than Caruso throughout their careers. He's shown he can do a little more with the ball in his hands. But he wasn't worth that much more than Caruso. Mm-hmm. So either the Bulls were ridiculous and got fleeced, or the Knicks were willing to give up whatever it took to reunite as much of the Nova core as they possibly could. But I'm going to credit Houston for getting involved in this as well.
Yeah,
a lot of
right?
those picks are the Rockets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they want to make a big swing, or they want to be in control of their own assets, right? They had to give up a lot to Brooklyn in order to, with the James Harden everything going on there. So Houston's out of picks. Phoenix is out of picks. Those teams want their picks back. And the way they facilitate that is by getting the ball moving with Brooklyn mm-hmm. in New York and these picks going back and forth. So it's going to be really interesting to watch this behind the scenes maneuvering that won't pay off, you know, for anyone outside of the Knicks yep. next season. But, you know, come the 2025 offseason, the Cooper Flag draft, and a couple of years after that, we'll really see the dividends of this mm-hmm. trade for the other teams involved.
Brooklyn is going all in on Cooper Flag next year. They're just giving away assets
as
and collecting assets, getting ready to take Cooper Flag number one next
ready
year.
Ready to go?
Yep. You ready to be a Brooklyn fan?
Hey, Derek Whitehead's already there, so
there you go. You'll be good to go. But New York is prepared. And also, I feel like it's a Tom Thibodeau move because Mikal Bridges has played all 82, like the last three seasons.
Yeah.
So Tibbs is just licking his chops like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this guy every single game, every single minute. Him and Josh
non-stop.
Hart. Nonstop. Never come off the court. That's what's going to happen there. But
it's still just to lose in the quarterfinals.
That's not going to
happen.
Pretty
much.
Nope.
That's
championship,
crazy.
Championship, baby. NBA champions. That's what's going to happen. But
Mikal Bridges really do that for you?
Yes. If, as long as everybody else is healthy.
That's
if Julius Randle,
I don't know. See, that's the thing is, does that move the needle for you?
You have to think about it in the context of the Eastern Conference first of
yes.
all. The Knicks would have been Boston's best competition, except that everyone died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if New York's going to be able to play five out the way Boston did, especially if they bring Hartenstein back. So you didn't really solve the Porzingis problem necessarily. This doesn't solve the Giannis problem. It doesn't solve the Embiid problem. Knicks found ways around those right now. So, I mean, New York's going to be a top half home court advantage first round team at the very least. But They got to get better shooting the ball, shoot more and shoot better from long range.
That's what Mikal Bridges is for.
But he's not going to create a lot in the zone, right? I think they need another guy to come off the bench behind Brunson, who's going to play a lot of minutes, but they need a kind of secondary creator off the bench that isn't going to score a lot, but can dish the ball to Bridges in spot up situations.
Wow, I'm so glad you said that, because there are rumors. Kyle Lowry.
Does that move the needle?
No, it does not at all, but it's funny.
It was Kyle Lowry, and then there was another older point guard who you don't look at as a scorer, more of a facilitator. I don't remember who it was.
Did he go to Nova?
No.
Oh, that doesn't matter.
No other Novas. But it's kind of funny, and it's very interesting to see what the Knicks are moving towards and how this next NBA season is going to play out with the Nova Knicks. Their new jerseys are just going to be Villanova jerseys.
So there you have it.
That's my NBA corner, and now we're off.
All right, we're off. We bring in Austin for college baseball.
For one reason.
We are our group chat last night, like yesterday afternoon before the news broke, was firing on all cylinders.
It was fun.
Here we are, just less than 48 hours after the national championship game. Jim Schlossnagel gets introduced as Texas's coach. With that, a couple of Texas A&M players have entered the portal. Notable names in terms of third baseman Gavin Grahovec, star outfielder Jace Lavalette, and then also Texas A&M's Caden Kent have all entered the transfer portal. This comes a day after Jace Lavalette tweeted out about how proud he was to be a member of Texas A&M and that this is where he wanted to be and that let's go get it done next year. Deletes that post, enters the portal, and you can only imagine where. Jim Schlossnagel also today was part of a 56-minute introductory press conference to where the chairman of the Board of Regents talked. You can remember how that was also at Nebraska's athletic director introductory press conference. The chairman of the Board of Regents spoke for a couple minutes. The president of Texas and then the athletic director, Chris Del Conte, all spoke. And on top of that, Jim Schlossnagel's his opening statement was all concluded within about 22 minutes. So that gives you an idea of the 30-plus minute Q&A session that Jim Schlossnagel had to endure. A lot of it was, dude, you just spoke two nights ago about how things were great at A&M, how you never wanted to leave another job or for another job, and here you are. Why? They do not did a good job of hiding the fact that he's best friends with Chris Del Conte. Chris Del Conte hid away in a cemetery while he waited for Jim Schlossnagel to come back to College Station. Ended up then, once he was there, drove from the cemetery to his house, picked him up and drove him to Austin, Texas.
Would you hide in a cemetery for me, Nick?
No.
Are we picturing Chris Del Conte just like sitting on the bench reading the newspaper, waiting for Jim Schlossnagel to show up? Or do we picture him going full vampire mode? Like,
I hope he was just hanging in his car. I hope he was just hanging in his car, like watching Netflix.
I honestly hope that he, this is weird. I hope that he just picked a random grave and just like stood by it.
No, Rico, that's too far. No way.
He's hiding in the cemetery. You got to make it look like you're there, right? You're visiting somebody. I don't know.
So Jim Schlossnagel, though,
he's hiding behind a tree in the dark with a black trench coat on. All you can see is his eyes.
They did not do a good job of hiding the fact that they're all best friends.
Right.
And Jim Schlossnagel admitted that throughout the season they had talked. And this was the quote. This comes from a Houston Chronicle writer. It says, Jim Schlossnagel says that he had no communication about the Texas job during the Aggie season. However, he did mention that he spoke with Chris Del Conte about everyday friend conversations.
Hello, and that friend was it. Who is the athletic director at a school that I wish I was coaching at. How are you?
Because that's the thing, is Schloss wanted this job back in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Hello, friend.
Didn't get it. They ended up going with David Pierce. Did not get the job in 2015. Ends up staying at TCU for a couple more seasons, then gets A&M's job, and ultimately we know how everything played out. But nonetheless, Schloss now gets the job at A&M. He apologized to the reporter, Richard Zane, for how he responded to the question.
I'm sorry I called you up for being right.
I also didn't appreciate one thing about Jim Schlossnagel, because this is making Schloss look really bad. And one thing I did not appreciate was he admits, like, listen, I didn't have time to say goodbye to the team. I didn't have time. NCAA rules don't let me call them. Like, if they have an exhausted eligibility, then I can't call them and be like, hey, this is what's going to happen, or whatever. And so my response to that naturally is, you had a plane ride and a private bus ride to stand up and have a conversation and address the entire team. And well, chose not to.
You also, and I understand it was right after you lost the national championship, but had discussions on the field, in the dugout, in the locker room, after the presser.
Yeah.
On, like you just said, on the bus. You had a ton of opportunities. And also, yes, NCAA rules say that you're not supposed to talk to the players. But first off, you're at Texas A&M. Who really follows NCAA rules? Come on.
He said that even when he went to TCU, when he left TCU to A&M, they played at TCU the following season. And that was the first time that he had a conversation with some of the players, was at on the field.
Well, there's a player that found out about it because of social media.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's just not a good look. And there's so many angles to this that we're going to dive into over the course of the next hour or so, because there's a lot of angles that we want to get to that we kind of like introduced, just kind of an overall view. Once again, like we talk about the investment that certain programs make. I said this earlier on the drive this morning. Think about the investment that Texas just made in baseball as they are about to enter the SEC. They, first of all, fired or mutually agreed to part ways, had to buy out their previous coach, David Pierce, which he was getting paid about 1.2 annually. And then on top of that, they had to pay Texas A&M $3 million to buy out Schloss. And now they're going to pay him $2 million at least annually to coach the University of Texas. The investment, I mean, we're talking, so right there, just in buyouts, probably $4 million at least.
Well, that's one booster.
In buyouts.
That's one booster in Texas.
$4 million in buyouts. Then you're talking about probably a five-year deal at least for $2 million annually. Let's just put it right there at the baseline.
So there's 10.
There's 14 total million dollars over the next over the next 5 years just to your head coach, not including the top tier of assistants that they had to probably persuade to leave Texas A&M and are going to pay them more. That's not including those guys. That's not including NIL. That's not including facilities. That's not including bonuses that Schloss will probably earn over the course, because we kind of expect this to work because he's done it at far worse places. He brings TCU up from the ashes. He helps Texas A&M reinvigorate life into that fan base in just a few short years. Now you put him in a spot like Texas and you kind of just expect it to work. There's a lot of investment financially here before we even talk about the roster.
It's certainly a sign of the times. I go back to a tweet I saw yesterday. The SEC hadn't won a baseball title before 1989, and then they put the legwork in. Texas has already won titles, and they're doing this legwork. And Texas has been competitive on the national stage before, right? Not as much under David Pierce, but they had a really, really outstanding team, just 2 years ago, right? Yeah. Ivan Melendez and that crew. So we know that Texas has put resources into it. But if Texas is saying, now this isn't enough, we need to invest more.
Yeah.
That's a sign of what they think awaits them in the SEC in baseball. It tells you what they think about Schlossnagel, because even if it wasn't Chris Delcani as athletic director, I feel like he would have been pursued given that he wanted the job before, absolutely, given his ties to Texas. And it's just the price of doing business right now in the SEC, in the College World Series realm. $2 million going to be pretty high for a baseball head coach, but there you go. Texas resets the market.
Yeah, it resets the market for sure. Breaking news, as two more Aggie players have entered the portal in the last 20 minutes. Outfielder Caden Sorrell, he enters the portal, and outfielder Hayden Schott enters the portal. So there you have it.
So that's the top four in that lineup
Yes.
gone, and the fifth member of that Braden Montgomery off of the MLB draft.
Yeah, I mean, devastation in Aggie land.
Just, man.
Less than two days removed from a national championship appearance. I think, we're going to talk about potential replacements, and we can go ahead and dive into that right now, Austin. Potential replacements for Jim Schlossnagel at Texas A&M. There's a couple on the list that I know you put in some effort into this. I have a couple of names that I'm interested in. But it all comes down to, frankly, is Trev Alberts able to persuade them?
Right.
Because now within an hour of an introductory press conference, Texas A&M has lost its core.
Not just on the field, but off the field.
Yeah, yeah. Completely revamp a staff, which a lot of times with a new coach, you'd like to probably keep your bring in your fresh guys.
Coordinator. Yep,
exactly. Yeah. Especially with the kind of guy that we expect Texas A&M to get. You'd feel like they probably want to be a team and stick with it.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
I think stability conversation is interesting with Texas A&M because I wonder now that Ross Bork is gone and they ushered in Trev Alberts. Obviously, Jim Schlossnagel leaves. The entire staff leaves.
New football
coach. A heavy buyout looming over your head in that regard. We make jokes about stability all the time, and we have those conversations. Texas A&M's in a very interesting spot right now in regards to major sports. And so are you able to persuade, as Trev Alberts, frankly, are the boosters able to persuade? Do they have enough of a foundational relationship with a top-tier guy? Because think about what was the main driver in all of this for Jim Schlossnagel was the foundational relationship between him and Chris, CDC.
Yeah.
And so when you look at this, does Trev Alberts have the ability to form a quick enough and strong enough relationship to sway a top-tier head coach to Texas A&M, or are they going to have to overpay so much that it is worth a top-tier head coach or an established baseball head coach to take a risk and be willing to revamp your entire roster?
I think there's a couple ways that this could go. Number one is, don't forget, Trev Alberts didn't make the Mike Elko hire.
That's right.
So the fact that this is that was off his plate for him, I think he dodged a huge bullet.
Yes.
But it doesn't change the fact that there's a lot on his plate trying to help Mike Elko get that up and running. And picking up what I'm sure are plenty of broken pieces from the Jimbo Fisher era, right? Trev at Nebraska did a pretty good job of being around at all sports, of being involved around day to day. And I can only assume that's going to be the case down in College Station as well. But the first order of business nowadays, especially, is football.
Yeah.
So with all the attention you have to pour into football, I think you feel okay about leaving men's basketball alone with Buzz Williams there. You feel okay about women's basketball coming off a tournament appearance, but how much time are you able to spend between football, where Texas is very clearly ahead of A&M right now, and baseball, where Texas just flexed its muscle and said, hey, look at us, we're big brother, there's nothing you can do about it. There's two ways this coaching search goes. Number one is Trev Alberts decides, hey, football's more important right now. We're lost in the middle of the SEC. We need to focus on improving that through whatever means necessary. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out. I'm going to pay top dollar for the most established veteran head coach I can possibly get so that I don't have to oversee this program as well. I will not look over his shoulder. I will be around to answer questions, but this coach has to be self-sufficient. Build it in their image. I have to trust them. The other option is Trev Alberts isn't able to go that route, doesn't have enough relationships with boosters or other baseball coaches out there. He has to go down the totem pole, down the list a little bit, because I think there should be plenty of coaches interested in the Texas A&M job on its own standing, with the resources, with the location, with the conference, with the talent base, all of that. Plenty of people should be interested in Texas A&M, except that there's not that stability, except it's a new AD that you might not know. except that boosters are already maybe a little bit on edge with how things are going, with the state of, you know, Texas athletics as it is. It wouldn't shock me if Trev Alberts, you know, takes some of these big swings at these guys, but isn't able to get them because of the lack of relationships. Mm-hmm. And then A&M fans are mad at him, and baseball suffers, and he's trying to split time between football and baseball, and neither one is able to get off the ground and get running.
I'm fascinated by this. A couple more Aggie players have entered the portal, up to seven now in the last hour since the introductory press conference. Seven Aggie players have entered the portal in the last hour, hour and a half or so. And it's not necessarily a given that they just automatically end up in Austin with Jim Schlossnagel. A lot of it could just be doing kind of protecting themselves in essence, right? To where they want to be able to kind of feel their options out, see who Texas A&M hires. This is a pivotal time. This is a critical time in the baseball offseason that A&M needs to move swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
They need to move quick. They need to find a guy, whether, and I don't know, Austin, this is where I guess we can break into a couple of the name and potential replacements, but like, this is where, if you do have to go down lower on the totem pole, does that coach really feel comfortable saying, all right, go ahead and make the step up to Texas A&M, like to his players?
Right.
Or if you're able to go get a top tier head coach from another SEC school, then do you feel comfortable with him saying, yep, go ahead and just make it Vanderbilt, go to A&M, just like we're expecting Schloss to do with Texas,
right?
Where Texas A&M's players basically go to Texas and vice versa, wherever, you know, wherever it lands.
You said throw Vandy out for a reason?
Huh?
You throw Vandy out for a reason? You think he's on the list?
I do think Tim Corbin's on the list. I think that's one of those big swings, right? An established guy can really steady ships, I think. I think there's something to be said there. Am I also strange for being intrigued by the thought of Kevin O'Sullivan? I mean, because here's the thing. Texas is going to have to... Texas A&M is in this conversation of little brother, don't have resources, doesn't have enough investment, doesn't have facilities, doesn't have leadership. This is their opportunity to completely open up the checkbook, blank slate. If they want to pay whoever their next guy is more than Schloss is getting paid at Texas, do it. It's going to take flex on him. Show him that you're not little brother. That's what it's going to take to get a guy like a Kevin O'Sullivan.
But you got to think with a Texas A&M that even if they're little brother to Texas in the baseball world, they're still one of the heavy hitters, one of the big dogs in the baseball realm. So I was going to ask you, Vanderbilt to Texas A&M, lateral moves, step up, step, like what kind of step would that be going from Vanderbilt to Texas A&M? On one side, and then two,
it was a down year this year. That's the reason why I bring up Vandy.
Vandy's got a title. A&M doesn't.
Yeah, down year.
Money's money.
Yeah. Two, how quickly does Texas A&M have to make this move in order to potentially keep some of those players and to go into the portal and get players from somewhere else? Because if all of those players leave, like you said, it's not a given that they go to Texas. Yeah. It's not a given that they end up in Austin. But wherever they go is going to be, you know, whatever, you know, power hitters. However, how quickly does Texas A&M have to, how quickly does Trev Alberts have to move to put someone in place who has enough cachet to keep those guys there? Because if you go lower on the totem pole, who's to say that those guys are like, oh, yeah, we'll come back for this guy? Or it's like, no, you brought a guy in. Congratulations, that's your head coach. I'm still leaving.
Okay. What stands out to me is the state of college athletics and what's happened in college basketball recently.
Mm-hmm.
Krzyzewski retires, they stay in-house. Roy Williams retires, they stay in-house. Kentucky comes open, right? Arkansas makes that big swing where that pre-existing relationship with the Tysons and John Calipari. Kentucky took some swings, right? They talked to Dan Hurley. They talked to Scott Drew. Probably a couple other guys in there as well. They said no. They didn't want to leave their current spot because they felt comfortable enough there. Corbin's interesting because of the down year. O'Sullivan would be maybe the biggest swing Texas could take. But I wonder if we don't overrate the impact of money and comfort sometimes. or we overestimate the impact of money and underestimate comfort, familiarity, building a program in your own image. Because over the last, you know, decade plus, Tim Corbin and Vandy baseball are inseparable. Kevin O'Sullivan in Florida over the last 14 years. I mean, that's a Kevin O'Sullivan program at Florida. I think it would be a step back for him to go to Florida to A&M. I really do. Even if the money's better. If there's enough money in Florida, there's enough facilities, resources, plus you already have the history, tradition, continuity built up of your own accord there at Florida. Where I, the interesting names that I landed on for Texas and my short list, Josh Holliday at Oklahoma State. I know he hasn't, you know, made that dent in the College World Series, but again, success at the highest level, pay to go get him, knows the footprint well enough. Cliff Godwin from East Carolina.
I thought about that name too.
I'm not sold about it, but they've at least hosted a regional the last couple of years. They've been pretty darn good.
Is that big enough for A&M fans?
It's not, which is why I'm not sold on Trev's ability to pull that off. If he's able to, more power to him. But that's why I go with like maybe the biggest swings that I think he could take would be Holliday, Godwin. Backich probably isn't leaving, but there might be some sort of pre-existing relationship. The only other way I would go, Dallas Baptist has two names. Hefner, the head coach. You can be big brother, the little brother there, or
Cliff.
Their recruiting coordinator, Cliff Pennington, program alum. Now, A&M fans would say, well, he hasn't been a head coach, and well, how'd your alumni, you know, hires at Nebraska do for you, Trev? But Dallas Baptist has been a really good program. It's guys that know the area, that know the program, that have some relationships there. Those are probably the top names on my list as I see it from Trev's perspective, but I'm fascinated to see if A&M's the one that's actually able to pull off one of these, you know, swing for the fences, 5-run home run swings.
I don't want to make this all about Trev. I don't, but
it kind of is.
It kind of is.
The Nebraska angle right now. Yeah.
The Nebraska angle is fascinating because if he can't pull off a hire, you'd expect a call.
Mm-hmm.
You expect a little bit of a call to be made. And not to mention, a lot of times with these big ones, these big jobs like this too, a lot of coaches will approach them.
Right.
We hear that all the time with, there was a lot of interest in this job. We heard that about Nebraska football, frankly, even at that level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where there was a lot of interest, just not a lot of qualified candidates. There will be a lot of people that I'm sure will reach out. But once again, is it somebody that Trev feels comfortable with? Is an established name that the boosters can get behind? Or do we have a Mark Stoops situation?
Okay, that would be fascinating if we do get Mark Stoops 2.0, which again, Trev wasn't around for.
Yes.
I don't know the best analogy to do this, but you don't want the boosters to run the program, but would it be a sign of goodwill and good faith for Trev to say, boosters, you know these guys, who can you get?
Yeah.
Make this higher for, right? You know people, you have connections, you have the checkbooks. You bring them to me instead of me bringing them to you.
So
is that a viable way to run a search? I don't think it is. But given the circumstances, it might almost work out better for him to do it that way.
I feel like that's a dangerous game to play.
It is.
Down in the state of Texas, especially because those boosters,
if you give them out a cookie. Them,
exactly. You give them a little bit and they're going to take a lot. And then the
next
time.
But they already did that with Elko, right? So I feel like that cookie's already been handed out.
And then the next, but he wasn't, he didn't make that hire.
Or with Stoops and Elko.
Yeah. But he didn't make that hire.
But the boosters were involved. The boosters were involved. So they've already had that taste, and they're going to say it's even easier for us to do this
with a new AD
that we don't know, that doesn't know us.
See, but there's that. Man. But then does he put his foot down to establish himself?
Can he?
I don't know.
He has to try.
That's the part of
that ability.
Yeah, because they made the Elko hire. They decided on Elko instead of Stoops. And now it's a baseball thing where it's like, okay, you haven't really made it. You've made one baseball hire. We don't know if you know the baseball world as well as we do. We're going to take over from here. And then if Trev is like, no, I'm the athletic director. I will handle this.
But
then if he brings somebody in, even if that person's well-established, whatever, but just is missing that one little thing, and the booster's like, nah, then he's going to have a power struggle between your new AD and your boosters, and you don't want that. You want to be on the right side, but you don't want to give them too much.
There's the difference. There you can sense and feel a difference between Trev Albert's position and Chris Del Conte.
Oh, huge difference. Yeah.
Like, you can feel the difference. Mm-hmm. And it's not that Trev is weak or it just in a very disadvantageous position.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Trev was. Trev did not like. That's where I this is going to me like sound like me defending Trev Alberts here. This is not what I'm trying to get at. Folks are mad at Trev because he wasn't able to contain or retain Schloss. He didn't stand a chance.
Not in that situation.
In all reality,
best friend talk.
Look at, well, that, right. But like, no, in all reality, did not stand a chance.
No.
Even if he was there for 2 years, it feels like would not have stood a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you more maybe about Chris Del Conte's ability.
Jim Schlossnagel's mindset.
And less about, I think, Trev Alberts as an AD. So that's mm-hmm. not me sitting here on 93.7 The Ticket defending Trev Alberts. It's me saying with a realistic approach and thought about this, Trev did not stand a chance to retain. And that says more, I think, about Chris, CDC at Texas, and about the University of Texas
mm-hmm.
than it says maybe about Trev Alberts and Texas A&M.
He's fighting a wildfire with a squirt gun on that one.
Does the Board of Governors, Regents, whatever it is, in the booster seat the same way?
No, they don't.
They won't.
Exactly.
Even if it's true that Trev was behind the eight ball the entire time on this, no one else in a position of power down there is going to see it that way.
Nope.
It's, we're A&M, we have money, we'll write the check, keep him around.
And we just made an NCAA or a championship game, and you failed to keep him.
Yep, that's on you, Trev.
Dang. And what a... Frankly, just putting it honest and transparent, what a crappy position.
It's a loose.
What a mm-hmm. crappy position for a relative new mm-hmm. AD to be in.
Yeah.
It is. And that's not like, once again, not me feeling bad or anything like that, because everybody knows how the situation happened here in Lincoln and dipped for Texas A&M and College Station and all that. I get it. But what a truly crappy position, knowing you didn't stand a chance. And frankly, you've never needed to make this monumental of a hire when it comes to SEC baseball. Completely different. Mm-hmm. I think it also, like, you can't compare it to Big Ten football hire, but you certainly can't compare it to Big Ten baseball hire. And you never had to make one of those.
It's closer to a basketball hire.
I agree.
I would say it's closer to a
make one.
You didn't do that, right? You made the tough choice.
Yeah.
You know, you had two paths on the fork in the road with Fred Hoiberg, and through 1 year, you know, the choice was rewarded. I want to zoom out another, you know, 10,000 feet. If we're at 30,000 feet, let's go 40,000.
Yeah. Let's preview it next segment, because preview what we're talking about.
Texas is to blame. So is Ohio State.
Okay. There it is. Let's talk about that when we come back. 402-464-5685, the Honda Lincoln Hotline and the Sartor Hammond text line are both open for you. Huskers piece says it is crappy and I love it for Trader Trev. So that's what it feels like. A lot of Husker fans are in that boat. It feels like a lot of Texas A&M fans are saying, hey, do you guys got more room or is it going to sink?
You got more room on the Trev hate train.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Let's continue breaking this down when we come back. We'll also talk just about Texas A&M fans and like just fan bases in general, what the approach is.
Stages of grief.
Yeah. Stages of grief in a fan base. We'll talk about that. When it comes to Texas A&M and where they stand currently, we'll get back to that list of names because there's a couple that maybe we left off. And feel free to chime us, 402-464-5685. We'll step aside, come right back on 93.7 The Ticket.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.